Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler. Great to be back. And this is episode number 52. podcast@sightandsound.co.uk is the email address if you'd like to get in touch. We always love to hear from you with your comments, questions, suggestions, or indeed anything you'd like to contribute to the show. The floor is yours, as they say. Now, coming up today, multi-line refreshable braille on a new and emerging device called the TouchPad Pro. We'll be talking to Daniel Lubiner, the man behind it. Stay right where you are. Anything that incorporates multi-line refreshable braille has me very excited. And we've come across something recently called TouchPad Pro, which is one of these products that really I want to be sort of looking at from the very start. And we're very lucky to be doing that today with Daniel Lubiner. Daniel, welcome to the podcast all the way from New York.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a big fan of yours, actually.
Oh, well, then you're even more welcome. No, it's great to have you. Thanks a million for taking the time. Listen, you've been involved in the last little while in development of Braille devices. You've been kind of exploring the area of Braille learning, of graphics and pictures, and there's loads of interesting stuff on your website. But I want to take a step back from that for a sec, and we'll talk about the TouchPad Pro in a minute and what it has the potential to do, or what it will have the potential to do. But let's talk a little bit about you, because you're involved in performing arts.
Yeah, I even have a sitcom that I shot someday. I'm trying to sell the sitcom. So if you look up standupneurotica.com, it's a riot.
So we could see you on Netflix in the future. You know,
anything's possible.
Daniel, there might be more money in the sitcom than in Braille. But anyway, listen, I'm glad you're sticking with it. How did you get to where you are?
Yeah. So, thank you, and I'll just try to tell my story the best I can. I've actually been a special education teacher for over 20 years. So I've taught all kinds of different types of students. But the last 5 years of my teaching, I was teaching children who are blind and low vision, and I was teaching them art. And I just got so much out of that. They inspired me just so greatly in the way they do things, in the way they just, I was nervous at first. I was like, okay, they told me I was going to switch into teaching art from emotionally disturbed students to teaching art to blind and visually impaired students. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? But they made me feel at home so quickly and so naturally that, you know, pretty soon blindness was just like a feature, like blonde hair or, you know, something like that.
Were you observing, I suppose, as you were teaching these guys art, and you were, okay, you said, you know, they're blind, they happen to be blind, etc. But clearly there were things that you had to adapt in your teaching methods, things you had to describe, different ways of portraying art for people in particular who were totally blind. Did you kind of look at that and go, hang on, there must be an easier or a different way to do this? And was that where the TouchPad crept into your head?
Actually, yes, that is part of it. But I, you know, in general, I was just having such a wonderful time doing three-dimensional artwork, art history. We would talk about Mona Lisa, and then we would make a Mona Lisa in 3D. We'd talk about Van Gogh, Starry Night, and then we would try to make a tactile Starry Night. So, you know, but as I was, you know, speaking with them and observing the way they work, and how you know, the type of assistive technology that they have already, I noticed there was a lot of gaps. So it sprang from, yes, it sprang from doing art, and also, you know, the fact that there's, you know, a lot of people are trying to do the Holy Braille, as they put it, the iPad for the blind, as another term, you know, which has hundreds of pins that raise and lower, you know, to make graffiti and, I mean, to make the drawings and do Braille. But, you know, nobody's been really able to pull that off yet in the way I want to. I think it's a whole unique way, because there are people who, you know, it's not a new invention. It's an invention that builds upon everything that people have already thought of. And so the Touchpad Pro would be in full color, with bright, bright color for those with low vision, because I found that my students, many of them are on the spectrum, you know, and that's something I think that sighted people often don't think about, is how blindness is a spectrum. So they would get down into the artwork. They would get their noses dirty. They would get their, you know, paint on their noses and clay, so they could use all of their senses. So that inspired the Touchpad Pro as well.
You touched on something there. You mentioned something a few moments ago, but it kind of really got me thinking. You were talking about making 3D models of Van Gogh or the Mona Lisa, and you know, working with your students. And I, as a totally blind person, have no concept of what the Mona Lisa is. I've never had the experience of seeing it. And is this where something like Touchpad Pro might be used to try to bring this stuff to life in a tactile way instantly?
That's exactly, you know, what the dream is, you know, is to get to that point. And I will get to that point. But what we're, you know, just to describe it a little bit to your listeners, what we're thinking of is, you know, something about the size of a laptop. And we're thinking on the terms of starting at least with 5,400 pins, or trying to go higher from there, so each pin would raise to different heights, multiple different heights. So instead of having something that would be like two-dimensional, you're going to have something that would be three-dimensional with contours and curves. And, you know, for example, with a built-in 3D camera, facing you, you can take a selfie and your face would rise out of the surface.
Wow. And I'm not sure I want to do that, but
that's the dream, to have your face like come out of the surface, so you could know what, you know, how the contours and things like that. Or perhaps somebody could send you a 3D picture and their face could come out of the surface, or you could have a 3D call with somebody, you know, it just goes on and on.
will it work as a traditional Braille display as well, just for reading multi-line text, for example, or, you know, maybe Braille music, thinking those kind of things, as well as the graphics?
Yes, we're definitely aiming for Braille that is standard Braille. I know in some of the some of the devices that they're coming up with, it's hard to get that standard Braille, or either it's one trade-off or the other. You know, you could get standard Braille, but you can't get the graphics. So we're definitely trying to get to as much standard Braille as possible. Because, you know, I've become a huge Braille advocate. In the last 5 years, I just think it's just really sad that less than 10% of students, and I think in England it's less than 7%, in India it's less than 1% of students who are blind are learning Braille. And it's just astounding to me that that's the case. And the fact that, you know, eventually, you know, we talk about like how 70% of people are unemployed.
Absolutely. And I suppose this is all about, again, linking Braille literacy to, you know, better quality of life and employment and all that sort of stuff. Now, Daniel, so just because people will be listening, I think will be very excited. I'm very excited, not to see my own face, by the way, but I'm just very excited to know more about this. But this device is not, this is something you're developing. And I know it's probably a difficult question to answer, but where are you in that development journey and when might we see something?
For the TouchPad Pro, we're talking at least 2 years or so. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I think people don't understand is how much it's going to take to do something like this. And, you know, to be quite frank, it is going to take maybe a couple years and perhaps $3 to $5 million. And, you know, we're all hooked up with Boss Engineering, who are enthusiastic about getting this device to life. And, you know, and they have engineers and software engineers and hardware engineers and who can pull this off. But it is going to take, you know, engineers of, you know, who could work at NASA or SpaceX to pull off something like this. I think it's just highly underestimated what it's going to need. And also, you know, we're going to try our best to keep it affordable, because that's, you know, if we make something that's $100,000, what good is it? You know, we're definitely going to try to keep it under $15,000 and then knock it down.
That's one of the problems with Braille technology, isn't it? That historically, by the very nature of the cost of the cells and the fact that if one pin, certainly in the traditional Braille technology, if one pin is damaged, the entire cell has to be replaced, and there's a cost to that. And I think that's something that all Braille manufacturers have struggled with and continue to struggle with. And clearly, you're going to come into the same challenges.
Yeah, but I'm trying to come at it from a different angle. I'm trying to say, like, something new has to be put together. The old way is just not working. I know Dot, for example, their technology is pretty excellent and, you know, and inexpensive. It's just simple, like Braille technology, where the dots would come up magnetically. However, there are some disadvantages to their technology that they're running into. I know HumanWare and also are getting together with APH, and they're going to be working on a tactile display. And I believe they're using that dot technology. But I think the problem with that, you know, I guess I'm digressing from the cost thing, but you might be able to keep costs down, but if you have an image of a face, right, and you want to have that image of a face for a person who's blind, who's never, you know, had that input, then what would a one line or a line drawing feel like and be interpreted as by a blind person without any three dimensions? So that's where I want to look at it very differently.
I suppose one of the other things when we talk about multi-line braille devices and, you know, things in the past that we've certainly people I've spoken to, these devices have tended to be self-contained in that you feed files to them or you feed information to them and they do their thing and give you back your multi-line braille. Is that the plan for TouchPad Pro, or will it be able to interface to, you know, maybe existing technology like screen readers or mobile devices and take information from that?
That's exactly the plan, is to take information directly from a computer, a cell phone, tablet. So it is not going to have that type of software. What we call it is like the display of these devices. So instead of having a visual display on your computer, you will have a full tactile display on the computer. Or instead of having the apps appear on your phone, the apps will appear in a tactile way with Braille descriptions underneath, you know, underneath the buttons that would pop up.
I'm sure in terms of feedback and testing and focus groups, let's say, you must have a ready pool of people in those students that you were teaching and who kind of prompted you to start this journey.
Well, that's exactly it. I don't think the TouchPad, you know, I call them my co-designers. You know, without them, this would not have come to my mind so well, because it was about talking to them and asking them and telling them about what I was drawing and what I was designing and what I was trying to figure out, and having their feedback and them saying, like, well, you know, I can't really interpret line drawings, or I, you know, I would like to see this in a device. You know, I would like to have a multi-line display that I can look at a graph and read it at the same time. You know, I had a student who loved math, you know, really, really loved math. But when she decided to go to college, I was like, well, what are you wanting to do? And she said, well, I looked at engineering and that type of thing, but really conquering something like calculus as a fully blind person is extremely, extremely difficult, because you would have these, you know, books that would stack up to the ceiling, and you know, just graphs that would. So anyway, the TouchPad Pro, its intention is to have just constantly be moving and be able to, you know, use these things and do these things.
Now, outside of your own student group and those people who are your co-designers, and I think that's a really nice way to refer to them, by the way, outside of that group, you know, the wider blind community, people that you're talking to must be pretty excited about this, because I'm very excited about it already. What are people saying to you?
They're loving it. And, you know, I run a clubhouse room on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. and I would love to have you come there.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's assistive technology for the blind and low vision, where we discuss, you know, different things. And that's the thing, you know, I have on my team, well, half of them are blind and low vision, as a tribute, you know, because as we're making the product, as we're making the company, it's got to be from the front end. You know, too many companies, as you know, make products for blind and low vision people, and then, okay, we're going to make this product, we're going to design it, we're going to test it on you, and you're going to love it.
And you're an you afterthought.
Yes.
Right.
But, you know, I, you know, I think it needs to be, and many people agree that it needs to be from the front end. It needs to all happen from immediately from the start, where blind and low vision people are involved in every aspect of it, because we're not stopping at the TouchPad Pro. We're also considering other devices and how we could go. And, I know TouchPad Pro is a very exciting thing, but, you know, just to back it up, we're actually starting with something called the Braille Doodle. Now, so the Braille Doodle is going to be a device that will be under $100. And it just was inspired by like the pandemic where, you know, Braille instruction became like impossible. And also these numbers of, you know, 6% people learning Braille. So I thought of a device, and we designed a device that somebody could learn Braille over Zoom or learn Braille independently. And also, if you take off the Braille sleeve, as it were, you'd be able to draw on this device. So it would be a fun device. It's sort of like an Etch-a-Sketch for the blind.
How near are we to the Braille Doodle becoming available then?
As soon as we're funded, we're 6 months away from getting the Braille Doodle.
Okay. Loads of innovation coming from you and your team of co-designers. How can people find out more and keep in touch with something that I think is really exciting and clearly something that you're very passionate about?
Yeah. Well, you know, really we're going at this Braille Doodle full force right now. So the TouchPad Pro Foundation is trying to get this Braille Doodle designed. We're a full 501c3 tax deductible place where people can make donations. So we could get this designed and in the hands of kids as soon as possible and get it to kids who are low income, you know, get it out free or at a very low cost. So that's our focus now. It's touchpadprofoundation.org. And, you know, to hear more information or see more information about TouchPad Pro, that's touchpadpro.org.
Okay, brilliant. TouchpadProFoundation.org and TouchpadPro.org are the two resources that will certainly keep people up to date. And then you're on, you mentioned just a couple of moments ago, you're doing a Clubhouse event every Tuesday at 3 p.m. That's Eastern time. So for people in maybe in Europe, it's kind of 8 p.m., certainly UK, Ireland time, and 9 p.m. in Central Europe. And presumably all are welcome to join that too.
Indeed, yeah. We'd love to have you.
Okay, I'll definitely drop into that one of the days. Daniel, it's been lovely to catch up with you. Thank you so much for giving us your time. Continued success. And I'd like to stay in touch because I'm very excited about what you're doing. So let's try to check in maybe a year or so, see how it's all going. But for the moment, thanks a mil for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Daniel Lubiner there. I thoroughly enjoyed that chat with Daniel. I love talking to people who are that passionate about Braille. I even think it's more interesting for us to talk to sighted people who are that passionate about Braille, and how passionate Daniel is to work with his co-designers. I still love that phrase for the people who have inspired him to go and do the great work that he's doing. Well, that's just about it for this edition, but we'll be back soon. Until then, from Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight & Sound Technology, stay safe and stay well, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.